following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Monday morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It is a Monday where we almost had a sweep. Things were looking pretty good. We have Nebraska, the only undefeated team in the Big Ten Conference in football. Matt Davison, Husker Sports Network, will be joining us here in the next segment. Bo Pelini will be up with his press conference. The most important game of the year. Maybe should have stayed in Lincoln. Maybe should have went today. Nope. I wanted to be here because there's so many other things going on, and we'll still hear from Bo as they get ready for Michigan State. The one thing that I have heard now multiple times from the, and again, these guys aren't experts, but they are the experts in covering Nebraska football. Whether it's Steve Sipple, whether it's, you know, Sam McEwen, whether it's Dirk Chatelain, whether it's Mike Babcock, Sean Callahan, whoever it is that covers the Huskers on a daily basis. I got you a pencil right there, buddy.
Okay, got you.
I got you right there. Right. Unless you like colors.
No.
I wasn't even sure you were going to show up today, by the way. anyway, they say that Nebraska matches up well with Michigan State. You are going to hear a lot of believers when you read the papers, listen to the radio shows. Television, they don't, not so much opinions given there. But you are going to hear a lot of people that like Nebraska's chances. Jimmy, when the point spread is a touchdown and it's 7 or 8, depending on where you look, well, you do have a chance. You have to feel like you have a chance, especially if you're only a 7 or 8 point underdog on the road against what everybody thinks is the best team in the conference and the defending conference champion.
Yeah, I agree that, you know, the body language of Nebraska and the way the players, everybody's believing, everybody's the cohesive group, that's what we have in Nebraska right now. The offense is excited when the defense makes plays. The defense is excited when the offense makes plays. There's a lot of different weapons. One thing I thought was very important, what Pelini did was, you know, a running back can only carry the ball so many times. And we know who our best running back is. And he could have maybe had 400 yards rushing. You know, but at halftime, I think it maybe gave him a couple extra carries to get him over 200. But, hey, the game was over. There is no sense in using this guy up because, you know, we want him to run and carry the football next week. Because I'll tell you, people get beat up. That's the one thing about it is, you know, in college football, when you get beat up the week before, Doug, you know, I mean, if you play somebody – and you get play somebody that's really physical. Well, I mean, let's say Nebraska played like in an Alabama, and then you got to turn around and play a Michigan State. Well, you win both those games. Well, whoever you play the next week, you are so beat up. And so I thought it was very important how he handled the players, pulling some guys, giving other guys an opportunity, and letting these guys not get so beat up. So I think Nebraska, the injury-wise, I mean, I don't know how Santos is exactly. Probably not going to play. I don't know for sure. I haven't heard. We'll find out maybe. Yeah. But other than that, injury-wise, we're going into the game in a pretty good, you know, frame. It looks decent the way we're going into the football
game. Mitchell, a lot of people thought that could have been a bad injury Saturday, so we'll get more there.
Yes, we'll find out about that one too.
Don't want to miss that one. Mm-hmm. Don't want him out of the contest. But We'll see again how it all plays out. I'm still at the point right now. There's that talk. I mean, Nebraska hasn't been 5-0 for a long time. There's that talk. Ooh, they're if they win, they're the dark horse. They're the underdog. I mean, people start talking playoff. They're talking Final Four, which, as we said, Nebraska probably has to run the table. From the beginning of the year, we were saying they probably have to run the table to make it into a four-team playoff just because they're not ranked in the top 10, can't afford that loss, will drop down. I have more confidence in Nebraska today than I did on opening day as far as how good the football team is, but I still don't have enough confidence today to be saying that Nebraska will win the game on Saturday. So we'll see how the week progresses and find out more. Talk a lot of Michigan State as the week moves on. It's going to be a very busy week. Of course, we'll hear Coach Pelini's press conference around the bottom of the hour. I talked about the perfect week. The Royals could have tied for the Central Division one run short over the weekend. I'm sure there's somewhere during the year, you know, that they could have picked up that game. It avoids, and listening to the guys on the Royals Radio Network yesterday, saying the silver lining is they don't have to play a game today against Detroit. And then if they lose, then have to play the wild card game, and then maybe get into a series. They just don't play today. They get the rest. They're going to go against a Royal beater, though. John Lester is about as good against the Royals as any pitcher has ever been. Ever. Not just in the last 20 years. Ever. And that's who Oakland's going to throw against James Shields tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, and we'll have that game here on ESPN and the Breeze 94.5 FM, your home for the Royals. So that's a big game there. But that's not what I'm talking about. The Royals get in, the Huskers win comfortably, Hastings and UNK, so close. So close. Your picks come in. That's another thing on top of a great weekend. And Hastings College, they're two plays away from being in the top 15 in the country, Jimmy, and that's how fickle sporting can be. Now they're 2-2, have to run the table, beat the two best teams in the conference to have a chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, a lot of these games do go down to one play. You know, I mean, when you're in very close football games, one play makes a huge difference. And, you know, that's why they say when you line up, you know, you can't take a play off. I mean, you don't know what time that play is going to be. And, unfortunate for Hastings College, like you said, because a lot of times you have a split in those. I mean, it's nice to win them both. But, you know, if you get the split out of there going, hey, we had these two games, they went down to the wire, hey, we won one, we lost one, you know, sometimes that's all you can do in that situation. So, you know, Missouri, I think, had a huge win over South Carolina this week.
Again, it tells you, when you look at these spreads anymore, and I laugh because over the weekend I heard it, every once in a while I'll run into the casual bettor, and what's even better, the college kid. The college kid, which built bookie business across the United States of America. They always take the favorites. They always take the favorites. In fact, I know a few of them that are crushed about Iowa State backdoor covering them against Baylor this weekend when Baylor definitely had that game covered. But I laugh because that was one of the two games that we looked at and went, how is this spread only 6? Well, not only was it 6, it was wrong. Missouri wins the game.
Well, the only thing is,
maybe it wasn't wrong. It was 6 points until the final 2 minutes.
Yeah, probably the spread was right. But everybody, when they looked at it, going, hey, they didn't know Missouri could play with South Carolina. But you know, the other game, wasn't the other game that we looked at and we talked about on the show was Northwestern and Penn State and Michigan in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And we looked at those two and thought, hey, at the beginning of the year, Northwestern and Penn State would have been about an even match. But since Northwestern was struggling, and same thing with Minnesota, a lot of Minnesota was based on that, just that one game they lost at TCU. You know what I mean? They went down to TCU and got thumped. And I don't know what they're doing with Michigan. I mean, you know, I mean, are they going to catch up with them and figure out that they're not very good?
Well, there were a couple of games that when we looked at the spreads, we went, what? And a good win for Miami. The Stanford-Washington one was one of them. You went, what? And it ended up being a close football game. But here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line.
Jerry, the money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it, what you would mean it, brother. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
Not show you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah. Louder.
Show me the money.
That's it, brother, but you got to yell.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money. Show me the money.
And if you are with Jimmy Langan this weekend, he is showing you the money. His best bet, TCU, kills it.
What you going to do, Jerry?
I didn't know you were going to do this.
Jerry McGuire, there's nothing better.
That's funny.
TCU covers everything that you could have covered. Half line, total line, shut them out. And you're already ready for Friday because you say East Carolina, who beat Virginia Tech and hung 70 on North Carolina, which just immediately to me means this is a game that they're going to stub their toe on. But you've already looked this up.
Yeah, TCU's playing. I mean, East Carolina's playing SMU this week. It's 38.5. I know Vegas is in trouble on these things when somebody catches. When you get, they don't want this. They just don't know where to put the line at. But East Carolina will beat SMU as bad. If anybody's watched SMU play, it is really disappointing. They were talking about whether they should even have the program or not the other day. Yeah. The over-under in the second half, true story, the over-under in the second half on SMU was 3.5 points.
And they didn't.
And they didn't cover. But they made it 3.5. You know how many people would say, "Hey, I think they can get 4."
Well, yeah, they'll let them in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they'll let them score one. Yeah,
56-0. The spread was 32. It was the biggest lock that Jimmy has ever given on the Doug and Daddy Show, and it hits without a problem. And then he's only picked 2 pro games this year. He is 2-0 in the pros. And not only did Tampa cover, they win straight out against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who may be the most up and down team in the NFL so far through only 4 weeks. 4-2 for Jimmy. Almost got the backdoor cover in the Florida State game where North Carolina State was on it early, and they almost came back from 21 down to cover the 18. It's only 15. Syracuse was the other loss, but the Buccaneers, TCU, Air Force, and Wake Forest, all winners. Jimmy's percentage is better every single week. 4-2 on the weekend for Jimmy Langan, and that's big.
Yeah, really, the only thing that we really hit was TCU. I mean, all the other games we talked about, I mean, if you're only going to play one game, just play that one. I mean, that was all. But all the other ones were just, we were just trying to get you on the right side of them. We hit some, we missed some. But the one was pretty much, I mean, that was something you wait for, like we said, for every 2 or 3 years you'll find something like that.
And in the Pigskin Pick'em, we're on a roll. Bill goes down to defeat. Only by a game. We didn't torch anybody. 6-4. Bill, 5-5. So $40 in Cunningham's cash in the hopper this Friday. I don't even know what the key game was. I had Maryland, which helped me. Jimmy would have won on the tiebreaker, I believe, because you went 65.5. It was not lower scoring like I thought. Nebraska, it was in the second half, it was. But you had Stanford and Nevada. And that got you to 6-4. We're very close. I've got 27 wins. The caller has 27 wins. You have 26 wins so far in the season. So $40 in the hopper, and we need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You know what? I want to talk about the Ryder Cup, but I don't think anybody cares. It doesn't even make the front page of anything. It was kind of embarrassing, and the United States didn't do anything after the very first session on Friday morning to make you want to talk about it. So we probably won't talk about it. Matt Davison, Husker Sports Network, Bo Pelini's press conference coming up next here in the Midway Auto Dealership.
Hi, this is John Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. you have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some sunshine develop across the area today with highs up into the low 80s as south winds will stay at about 10 to 15. For tonight, there's a chance for isolated showers and storms as we head down to 59 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 73.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Don't forget, it is Ram Truck Month, Chevrolet Truck Month, for another couple of days, because then the calendar turns. So if you are a fan of Chevy, how about supplier pricing on Silverado 1500 LTs, double cab, crew cab, with customer cash, plus supplier pricing, and $500 in bonus cash, trade assist up to $1,500. And if you're ready for the Silverado 25 or 3500 regular or crew cab, $4,500 customer cash plus bonus cash, $1,500 trade assistance, and 0% financing for 72 months. Doesn't get any better than that. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and thinkmidway.com. Bo Pelini's press conference is coming up, but right now we are pleased to welcome from the Husker Sports Network, Matt Davison with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda and Jim Lang. Good morning, Matthew.
Guys, thanks for having me on. What's going on out there?
Well, hey, backflips over a 5-0 start. I think we all felt in our heart that Nebraska was going to be better than every team that they played the first 5 weeks of the season, and I'll step up and say I'm impressed with the way Tommy Armstrong has played. He was my biggest question mark, even though it was 10 for 21 the second half. This game was all over by halftime. Nebraska has been pretty darn impressive. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. You know, as you looked at the first five games, you looked at it on paper and you said, okay, you know, Nebraska probably has a better team than these five teams, but you still have to go out and get it done. We had the scare against McNeese State. Other than that, Nebraska has looked really good. We were worried about the game at Fresno State. We pummeled them, come home on a kind of a weird short week with the road trip to Fresno State, come back from Miami, and have a really emotional week where we end up taking care of business there. Then you have to come back and stay focused for that Illinois game, and they took care of business there. So here we are at 5-0, and there's a lot of teams in the country. Most teams would love to be 5-0 right now, and so the bottom line is that's our record. And what an opportunity we have this week against Michigan State. I mean, this is a chance for our program to make a statement. There aren't very many on our schedule where we can have that opportunity, and we have that this Saturday. It's going to be a great atmosphere, big-time game.
Matt, can you recollect back in your career a game that you had played in, since you played in almost every one of them in your career, that was like a McNeese State and what it was like after that happened?
Well, my freshman year, we had Central Florida come in here,
yep.
You know, and Dante Culpepper had a day against us and really scared us. We won the national championship, but it was a close game, and that's probably one that really sticks out, much like the McNeese State game, even though Central Florida was probably a lot better than McNeese State with Dante Culpepper. But, you know, it was a scare game, and then we had to rebound and go beat Washington. You know, there were a lot of things that season that kind of fell into place, but that's what you have to have a special season. And the bottom line is you're not going to go out 12 games in a row and play with your A game. Nobody does that. And the question is, can you win the games that you don't play your best? And we did that, albeit against, you know, McNeese State. But now we know that we have a chance. I mean, if we can go win Saturday, everything is on the table. I mean, everything. Conference title, top four, playoff, everything is still out there if we can go get a win Saturday. And again, you know, Nebraska's had a few opportunities like this under Bo, and we've won a few of them. but we've lost a bunch of them too. And nationally, I think you'll see in the rankings, you know, Nebraska should probably be higher in the rankings. But I think there's still a national skepticism about Nebraska because of the ugly losses we've had a couple of times. I'm not saying it's right. These are all different players for the most part and played in those games. But this is a big opportunity for this program to get a monster win on the road against a team that most people nationally really respect now, and a team that, albeit they have a loss against Oregon, played pretty well in that game. And so this is going to be a lot of fun Saturday.
Yeah, Matt, Jim Lang, and a couple things. I definitely agree with you about the national attention about, I think, even the McNeese State game. Right away, everybody, would they look at that and they go, whoa, you know, hey, this team maybe can't play as well, you know, and that's maybe some of it. But also in the last 15 games, you know, we've only played maybe Michigan State, maybe Georgia in the bowl game have been the only two teams we've played that had a national attention that would be really good teams. We beat one and lost the other. So I do agree with you. A couple things I was going to ask you. You know, we've had trouble defensively on the first drive against about everybody we played except for Fresno. Second thing, Tommy Armstrong, I've kind of noticed that he's not bad throwing the long ball, but not maybe great at throwing the short pass. And I know as a receiver, you would have some comments on that. And then the last thing is, I thought our punt return and our special teams have been absolutely fantastic. Go ahead. I know I've got three questions out there for you. I taught school for a long time, but I don't know if you're going to remember them all, but go ahead and do as good as you can.
Well, with Tommy, I'll start with him. You know, I think he's exceeded expectations that I had for him going into the season. You know, I he was probably my biggest question mark, and not so much because I don't like his talent or that I don't think he has a chance to be great. It's just that he hadn't played much. And when he did play last year, kind of thrown into the fire, there were ups and downs, obviously. Too many turnovers was the biggest thing. Now, this season, I think he's done a good job. You know, you take out the pick six against McNeese State, which is still a big black eye and a play that you can't make against a great team. You take that play out, and he's been pretty good. I mean, let's remember, I mean, there's maybe five standout quarterbacks in all of college football that are great players. And so every team has quarterbacks that make big mistakes, to turn the ball over. It's just the way it goes. I mean, you handle the ball every play, you're going to make mistakes. And so overall, you know, not expecting perfection, I think he's done a great job. So I think Tommy is playing really well. The first drive of the game is a little bit concerning to me. You know, I think part of it has to do with the fact that teams now running different offenses, they can look back through film and really find ways to move the ball. Miami did some things that we hadn't seen before from Miami. And you're going to see that week in, week out. You'll see Tim Beck throw in some things maybe that other teams haven't seen each week. And I think teams bring those best plays out on the first drive and try to get momentum. Now, that may be an excuse, but I think it's true that teams do come out with some different looks that maybe you haven't prepared for during the week. Then you adjust after the first drive. But we can't have that this Saturday. You know, you don't want to go get behind on the road. If you get the ball first, you definitely want to go get the lead if you can. So, you know, that's definitely concerning. And what was the third question? I don't remember now.
The special teams, you know, how I thought we'd done suck. I mean, we might be as good as I can ever remember us in special teams.
Well, so far it's been good, right? You know, you don't ever want to turn the ball over. You don't want to have bad penalties in special teams. Drew Brown has been solid as the kicker, which was another question mark going into the season. But he's been good, and he's going to have the opportunity to make some big kicks. You know, we're going to be in a lot of close games the rest of the season. I believe that. And so much of it comes down to those hidden yards and special teams. I'm glad you brought it up. But, you know, I think there's been more emphasis on it this year. I think Pearson L gives us an element back there that we haven't had in some time. And so, you know, I think the coach has done a good job with it, with that facet of the game. And, you know, you can look at all the stats you want after a game, and one that you usually don't look at is punt return yards or starting field position or you know, kick return yards or maybe yards that you gave up in that part of the game. So, you know, it's definitely a big part of the game and will be a big part of it this Saturday when you have two teams that have pretty good offense.
Matt Davison, Husker Sports Network, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langham. We're just a couple of minutes away from Bo Pelini's weekly press conference, so we'll talk with Matt up until that point. But tomorrow, kind of a cool thing. I don't want to overlook this. You're going to be on Big Red Wrap-Up, and this is the live edition. Tell folks about it.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm headed to Kansas City as soon as I get off the air with you, and I'm going to go to Monday Night Football. So I have a little event today down in Kansas City that
nice.
I'm going to go to.
Nice.
Tomorrow night is Big Red Wrap-Up. It'll be a lot of fun. I like going on with those guys. Kevin Kugler's a good friend, and obviously I've known Adrian a long time. So, you know, I want to get over there and hang out with those guys a little bit. It's a great show, and glad to be a part of it.
And let's talk Michigan State. I started by saying a lot of the analysts, from Sipple to Sean to Sam McHugh, I mean, you can put 20 of them in there. They're all telling us the same thing when we have our Husker lunches and when we were talking in the offseason. They say, because I'm of the opinion that this is a game Nebraska doesn't win on Saturday, and somebody's got to lose. I mean, if they're 1-2 in the country, that doesn't mean that you got to drink the big red Kool-Aid. But everybody's telling me that this is a great matchup for Nebraska. And, of course, Nebraska has played well against or had success. I mean, the turnovers is what killed them last week. Why is this such a good matchup for the Big Red?
Well, typically Bo Pelini coaches well defensively against a team that doesn't have a real mobile quarterback. You know, Connor Cook is a great player. He really emerged last year. He could deliver the ball, can make all the throws. And so in that way, offensively, you know, they have big receivers that kind of scare you. They have a lot of speed. That scares you a little bit. But by and large, the scheme offensively is something that we can deal with. I think that's probably why you're hearing that from most people. You know, you look at the matchup over the last 2 or 3 years, and Nebraska's played well other than the turnovers last year against Michigan State. You know, we stole it on the road 2 years ago. We beat them up pretty good here with Kirk Cousins 3 years ago. And then last year you turn the ball over a bunch at home and you lose a close game still, and you had a chance in the fourth quarter. So, you know, I agree that this is absolutely a winnable game. You know, you look at it and you say, oh, Michigan State's a great team, and I believe that they are. But that's assuming that they play their best as well. I mean, every week teams come out all across the country, and a lot of them don't play well, don't play their best for sure. So if we play our A game, we're definitely going to be in the game and have a great chance to win. But you know, even if we don't, you know, Michigan State's going to make mistakes too. You know, I believe we can turn them over a time or two. I believe we can make some noise in special teams. And so I think we'll hang around in this one. It's just going to be a great game. It's going to be a very physical football game. But Tim Beck finds a way to move the ball in nearly every game, and I believe we'll do that Saturday.
Where is Nebraska's weakness going into this game, Matt?
Well, I still think it's our ability at times to tackle on defense. I think the linebackers, you know, by and large, are the weakness on the defense. I think the secondary is strong. I think the front four is obviously very good. You know, teams try to get our linebackers in a position where they have to make a play in space, and sometimes that gives us issues. So I think that's, you know, maybe one of the parts of our game that could use a little help. Other than that, you look at it, and we're pretty solid. You know, it doesn't mean we have an all-conference player at every position, but collectively we've done a pretty good job up front on the offensive line. We have weapons on offense. We've established ourselves as a tremendous running team, rushing the football. But that doesn't mean that we can go into Michigan State and be one-dimensional either. I think we can throw it against them. I think with Kenny Bell and Wester Camp and the other guys we have, I think we can make some noise in the passing game as well. But, you know, we have a solid football team, and no matter what happens Saturday, we still have a good football team. I think it's going to be a great year. But Saturday is just a big opportunity. And you know, you asked me what's maybe the weakness, and I'd have to say the linebackers, but, you know, I don't think you're going to see three linebackers on the field a whole lot on Saturday.
Yeah, Matt, I agree with you. Tackling has been a problem a little bit at times, but we seem to play fairly well in the second half the last two games, you know, making some tackles. And those wideouts, we've made some good tackles with one-on-one tackles with our defensive backs coming up and making some plays. What can you tell us about some injury situations? I'm concerned. I didn't like some of the Nebraska players were coming out. I don't know if they were completely injured, but I know they were banged up a little bit. Can you talk a little bit, or do you know anything?
Well, at this point, I'll let Bo talk about that during his presser. He'll get asked about it in a few minutes, and I'll let him address that. But, you know, I think by and large, we're pretty healthy as a football team at this point in the year. We lost some guys early in training camp, but since then, we've been, you know, pretty good. Randy is back to playing at 100%, which is always big. It's nice to have the best defensive player on the field, and a lot of times we have the best offensive player on the field with Abdullah, too. And, you know, just to maybe, you know, question my last comment about tackling. You know, you look at teams that have played us, and all of them are saying, we didn't tackle well. But that's because of Amir Abdullah. I mean, he's a great player, right? So we've faced Duke Johnson, who's a great back from Miami. We faced Ferguson last week. He didn't get a lot of touches, but he's a good back as well. I mean, we've faced some teams that have guys that are hard to tackle. Skilled position guys are getting better. It's hard for a linebacker to make plays in space. And so I think we're not the only team that's saying, hey, we need to tackle better. I think every team's missing tackles. But you know, that's, if you ask me a weakness, I think that's the one.
Well, Matt, looks like Bo's ready to go, and we appreciate you joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have fun in East Lansing, and we'll see you at the next home game.
Thanks, fellas. Anytime.
Take care. Matt Davison, Husker Sports Network. Let's head to Lincoln.
Their whole athletic program. I mean, I think they do it the right way. There's a lot of integrity there, and, you know, I think they do it the right way.
Offensively, you guys have had success on in the last 3 years. What have you guys done offensively that's given you so much success against them at times?
Well, you know, I mean, we've had some success, but they've had some success too. You know, I mean, it's who's good, you know, who executes on any given day, and we're very well coached. I don't worry a lot about what's happened in the past or anything like that. It's about what's going to happen Saturday night and how two football teams are going to play to Saturday night.
Do you pull up the
last? Well, we always watch. I mean, anytime you have history against somebody, you watch some of the previous games and try to learn from them. And they're doing the same. So, you know, it's not going to be, you know, this will be a separate deal. I mean, you know, but there's some things you can always learn, both good and bad. From looking at what's happened, you know, previously against an opponent.
You mentioned after the game the other night that Amir had he might have bruised his knee. After
Amir is fine. He could have played. He could have kept playing.
After yesterday going from treatment and so forth, everything's...
Yeah, Amir is fine. He could have finished the game. I mean, he went back in the game. I mean, he was fine. We just thought it was the right time to let's get him a rest.
Did Josh Mitchell come out of it as
you hoped
he
would?
What's David Santos' stance?
A little bit more today, but he's feeling a lot better. And you know, right now, I don't know if you know till we have some practice this week. It's hard to say.
You have an opportunity here to go 6-0 for the first time since 2001, the top 10 opponent on the road for the first time since 1997. From a historical context, how important is that?
Not very important. Not historically. I mean, it's important because I want to go 6-0. I mean, historically, it doesn't really mean that much to me as far as, I mean, it's, you know, this is about this team and what we're trying to accomplish. I mean, obviously, it's extremely important. It's a, you know, but, you know, every game we play is going to be. And I'm not going to make any more of it than what it is.
Where have you seen their quarterback make improvements maybe between last year and this year?
He's a really good player. He has, I think he's very decisive, gets the ball out in a hurry, has a strong arm, can really put, you know, pretty accurate thrower, and I think they do a good job. I think he really understands what they're trying to do offensively. He makes good decisions, and he has a quick release. You know, I think he's a tremendous player.
How dangerous is he when he rolls out and kind of keeps the play alive an extra second?
Well, you know, I think anybody is. You know, it just depends on, you know. I think the receivers do a good job of, you know, if their first route's covered, trying to stay alive, move, you know, make you have to lock on. And you got to be very disciplined, you know, because I think they do a nice job of just trying to find holes and you know, when you have a quarterback that can throw it into tight windows like he can, you know, I think his receivers do a nice job of staying alive. You see it happen multiple times on film.
And their receiving core bigger than maybe some other receiving cores you're going to see? Most of their guys seem to be around 6'1", 6'2", and 210, 215. Is that a challenge? Is that different?
You know, everyone's a little bit different. You know, the guys group we played last week had pretty good size, but you know, they have good size and they're physical, but they run good routes, and I think they do a good job. You know, they're, you know, for big guys, you know, sometimes you have those big guys that are kind of lumbering. You know, they're, you know, that you know, these guys are quick. They do a nice job. They're well coached. They get in and out of breaks and do a nice job, you know, for big guys dropping their weight and being able to, you know, change direction, which, you know, it's not easy to do. It's obviously they've been coached very well.
I feel like your defensive backs have paired through five games in terms of their man-to-man coverage and playing the ball and doing the things that you teach them to do?
Pretty good at times.
Inconsistent at times. you know, I mean, they're still working you got to get better every week. You know, you got to keep working your technique. And when we play within our technique and do the things the way we're coached to do, we're usually pretty good. But, you know, you have to have out there, you know, there's not a lot of room for error when you're playing on the edge, and you're playing out there, and you got to stay within your technique. You got to challenge people, and you're never going to play perfect out there. But at the same time, you just got to keep working on your fundamentals and stay with your technique, and you know, especially for younger guys, that's hard to do sometimes.
Anything in Amir's game this year that he's doing better than he did a year ago or as he's evolved?
I think he's better in every area, which, you know, I think he had a great year last year, but I think he's a better football player this year. And, you know, that's a testament to him, to his hard work, to his mindset, his preparation, his drive. I mean, he's playing at a very high level right now.
After watching the film, what did you think of the offensive line play against someone?
I thought it was very good. I thought it was outstanding, actually, and thought we blocked movement well. I thought we did a lot of good things. You know, there was they threw a lot at us. I mean, they had close to 50 pressures in the game, and that's a lot. I mean, we obviously ran a lot of plays, it was over 50% of the time we got something. You know, they were. I think they started out trying to play some base early, didn't have a lot of success with it, and decided that the way to go was to try to run a lot of movement. And our guys, you know, we've seen a lot of it. I think we've gotten better over the last few weeks of blocking movement and getting hats on hats and giving our backs room to run. You know, if you cover people up, our backs are pretty good. You know, the game that we didn't play very well up front was the McNeese game. Like I said, they had a lot of free hitters, and because we didn't react very well. We didn't react very well to their movement. And I think that, for now, you know, it's a weekly thing. You gotta put it on, you know, do it every week. But I think we've gotten better. I think that game made us better up front.
Doing that to your offense, why would you, for example, defensive guy, do that to some other offense? What does that indicate with teams' pressure a lot?
Well, you're trying to, there's some difficult things. You know, it's hard to get into all the X and O's part of it, but our offense stresses you in a lot of different ways. When you're throwing in the quarterback run game, some of the different things that are that go along with it, and what you want to do is, you know, there are some problem plays, and you know, I always believe this, that when you pressure, if you're just pressuring to try to luck into something, it's not going to go real well. But if you pressure, you usually want to pressure with a purpose, so I don't know what the mindset has been with some of the guys, but there's some difficult things to be able to handle and account for as far as what our offense does. And sometimes, you know, trying to stunt some guys and move some guys around, you know, gives, you know, hopefully, I think the mindset is to try to get them the opportunity to hit things a little bit quicker, mess up our reads and do that type of thing.
Did you kind of think your offensive line was going to take some time to develop or come together with as many guys as possible?
Yeah, I mean, in my experience, usually it takes, no matter what your offensive line, defensive line, across the board, it takes time to develop. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, you don't have the luxury in college football of preseason games and that type of thing. You know, there's only so much you can do, you know, in the preseason. And you know, and let's face it, you got to look at your team and what your early on schedule is and kind of build as far as to what you, you know, what you have to do is going forward. And, you know, as far as, to, you know, getting your, developing your football team, you know, how much time do you have, you know? And, but, you know, it's hard to, you know, you got to get better. That's why I say, you know, it's easy to jump the gun, in a lot of different ways early in the year, as far as judging football teams and that type of thing. You know, it's what are you going to be over the long haul?
You always thought October 1st is kind of the first real checkpoint for the season where you can kind of really figure out what people are doing.
I think it kind of gives you an idea, but I think that, I think you got to almost sometimes look at the whole body of work. And but, you know, you have 4 or 5 games under your belt, you start to hit your stride, you know, a little bit. And but, you know, like I said the other night, you know, we're not, I don't know if anybody's a finished product. We surely aren't right now. And I've seen a lot of good things, a lot of positives, but we need to stop, you know, the things that you can't beat yourself. And, you know, I actually saw something last week that, you know, John Wooden said a lot of times games aren't necessarily won. A lot of times, you know, the big games are lost on one side or the other. And there's a lot to that. You know, it's easy to say just take care of yourself, but, you know, you got to – I mean, I just look at some of the errors we made the other night, and that's never taken away from what another football team does. Or another, what the opponent does. But, you know, you got to make sure, you know, if somebody makes a play on you, they make a play. But you got to make sure you don't, you got to make them earn it. And that's what you got to constantly fight against, is being your own worst enemy. And at times, I mean, everybody is, but, you know, all I can control is our football team. At times we are. And that's what we got to fix. We got to keep getting more consistent.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, there have been a lot of good offensive lines that have played here. I mean, historically, like I said, there's a lot of tradition here that we try to build on and talk about in our recruiting. But, you know, what Dave Remington and Brendan Stye and, you go right down the list of the great players that have played here, they're not playing for us Saturday. So we gotta, you know, this group's got, you know, they gotta hold up their own, and that isn't through 5 games. That's through a season.
What's Kenny Bell meant to this offense? Not just his ability to go over the top like he did Saturday, but his blocking on the perimeter and the kind of the total package he gives you.
No, you just said it. He's a total package, and you know what? He's a team guy. Kenny isn't a guy. You know, if Kenny played in, you know, one of these spread offenses, he'd probably catch, I don't know, 100, you know, maybe 100 balls. I don't know. He's a great receiver and somebody who's a weapon. And but he understands that isn't our offense. That isn't how we play. He doesn't get caught up in all that. And he also, is mature enough to understand that statistics don't really, you know, they don't tell the whole tale. You got to keep that in perspective, and he's a team guy. He wants to win football games, and he understands what his role is, how the offense works, and I think he does it extremely well. He's a weapon. I mean, they started out the game the other night doubling him. I mean, they did not want him to beat him. They were leaning their coverage that way, 2 guys to his side. They knew where he was early on in the game, and when you got to commit 2 guys like that, when you're worried about a guy, that opens up some things in the running game.
How much more are we on the picture of Kenny hugging a referee the other night? Did you see that, or did you ask him why he did that?
I didn't. But did you see the picture of me hugging a referee?
did you see that in Kenny when you were recruiting him? That kind of leadership, that kind of maturity?
It's hard to
tell at that point. We knew he was a good kid, and I think Kenny's grown up big time since he's been here and matured, and I think leadership qualities have started to, you know, really come out this year. But we really liked him, obviously, in recruiting. We thought he was a pretty special athlete. And, I mean, he carried the ball more than he caught it in high school.
You mentioned Amir, you know, he really put in a good offseason and worked hard to have the start of the season he's having right now. During the offseason or in spring or at any point, did he ever talk to you about what he wanted to try to get accomplished this year?
He wants to win. That's really, that's all Amir has on his mind. I don't think Amir has high standards for himself, but at the end of the day, he wants to win football games. That's why he came back. That's who he is. I mean, Amir would be if he ran for 20 yards and we won a football game, he wouldn't blink an eye. He might be mad at himself if he didn't play well, but he's a team guy, and that's what makes him who he is.
Thing about the jerseys, the Red Rising jerseys.
Excuse me?
After the game, what was the players' overall reaction? I know it got a lot of negative feedback across the nation, but what did the players think about playing in those Red Rising jerseys?
You know, I didn't even ask them.
Sir?
I didn't ask them.
Go back to...
Where did it get negative feedback? I didn't hear.
Oh, I saw a lot of them.
I've heard a little bit of both, but so... You know, it depends on which sample size you take, right?
Talk about not beating yourself. That Michigan State game last year was an example, I think, of that happening. Have you guys talked at all about the fact that you could have won that game last year, some of those things have happened, or do you see players wanting to atone for what happened?
Well, what happened, and you know, you can look at it two ways. You know, you can look at it that we gave it to them. You could say, you know, you could look at it from their standpoint that they took it. And at the end of the day, we need to not make mistakes. You know, whatever they did to create the takeaways, we got to make sure we get fixed. And, that's going to be hard. It's hard to win a football game when you turn the ball over five times. And, we need to play better, cleaner, to give ourselves a chance to win the football game. And, you know, you can't have that kind of, but I don't want to take away saying, hey, we should have won the football game. And that's always looking back and saying, that's kind of a cop out to a certain extent. I mean, that's not giving Michigan State credit for winning the football. They won the football game. We lost. I mean, no matter how it happened. And
do you sense a hunger to atone for that?
Oh, absolutely. I think our guys are hungry. I mean, we have a really good opponent, and our guys are looking forward to playing against a good opponent. We have a lot of respect for Michigan State, trust me. And we know we're going to have to play well to beat them. I mean, and, you know, I bet if you talk to those guys on their side, they probably feel the same way. You know, we've had some good games against each other.
Well, how concerned do you have to be about trick plays? Because last year they faked a field goal, they ran a reverse with a pass. D'Antonio likes to sprinkle those in a game. Do you have to be kind of aware of those trick plays?
Yeah, I think you always have to be. You know, that's part of the game. You know, you got to be aware. And you got to have good awareness, and when you see something you haven't necessarily prepared for, you hope that your guys react the right way and have awareness that, hey, you know, something's up. You know, there's something different going on here. That, you know, play with some awareness. I mean, that's part of the deal, because you can't prepare them for everything. I mean, you can't. I wish I was sitting in their film room, but I'm not. But you just have to, you know, hopefully you survive plays like that, I always say.
sorry to keep bouncing back here, but one thing on him, I mean, what do you think when you see the kind of numbers that he puts up? And just, I know he's only halfway through or barely halfway through the season this year. The fact he's on pace, you know, to become the all-time leading rusher in Nebraska and beat Rozier's record. The numbers that he's just putting up. I mean, when you look at the stat sheet.
My reaction is I hope we're saying the same thing in week 10. week 11, week 12. You know, I mean, it's, I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, but I do know one thing. He's playing at an extremely high level. He feels fresh. He feels good. And that's a positive for us. You know, and as long as, you know, if you keep blocking well for him up front, you know, he's a hard guy to deal with. But, you know, he can't do it by himself. He's a great player. He's a great player, I think. Not good. I think he's a great player. But you got to play great around him. You got to make sure you give him an opportunity.
I mean, at this age, is the best age, you know, going back to your days in the NFL and everywhere you've been, is he as good as any guy you've been around at this age?
I don't know. You mean like here in college?
Well, yeah. I mean, just as far as a raw talent, I mean, it's.
I think he's a really good football player. I mean, you know, To me, the great ones, it's, you know, you stand the test of time. You know, I think he's a really good football player, and I don't like to get into comparisons and that type of thing. I mean, who you'd compare him to? I don't really know, but I think what he wants to be is Amir Abdullah, which is pretty special. Well, I thought we did that the other night, you know, and, you know, Monty got significant carries, yards, and, you know, Terrell was in there, and I think we do a pretty good job of it. Amir does a really good job of telling us when he needs a break, and, you know, when he needs a blow, he comes out, and, you know, if I'd be concerned if he was, like, taking a beating, you know, if he was... Amir, you know, I've said this before, he doesn't take a lot of big hits. His style of running, that type of thing, and what we're doing offensively, I don't know, he doesn't take a lot of big hits. And, I think we were smart with him in camp. We were smart with him through spring ball. And we try to take care of him during the week. And a lot of it is, you know, we're constantly in talking to him. There's communication goes on all the time.
Wants to play every down, but you kind of have to hold him back and during practice week and kind of prepare him, kind of save him for the game a little bit.
Amir gets the big picture, and he's still, trust me, he's still, everybody needs work, but you know, there's a time, it's when to, when not to, and like I said, you know, that's why the communication between us is important.
Is it important for Monty to have the game that did, because he hasn't had as much? I mean, I know he's been out there, he just hasn't had as much carries.
You know, yeah, I thought it was good for Imani, but, Imani carried the ball well in the first half, you know, and he's a good player. He's a good back, and I think he's a really good change of pace for Amir, and I think Terrell Newby's growing and getting better. I mean, he's a weapon, too. He's a good back. We got, you know, I feel good about our backs.
Well, Daniel really had a really good game this past Saturday. What can you say about, the progress he's made over his career, especially considering the injury he had to overcome last year?
I think Daniel's getting better. He's got to work on his consistency and does a lot of good things. He's a talented kid who was probably more of an offensive guy when we took him and moved him over to corner, and it's taken some time, and which it always does. And I think this experience and him getting the playing time he has, and it has helped him, and I just got to keep working to get him better.
Is his ACL recovery unusual?
No, I can't.
He got hurt in November.
Yeah, I mean that's. Yeah, I mean that's pretty normal. Now our guys, the ACL surgery and that type of thing happens a lot faster now than it used to. I mean it's. You know, medical, the way they do the surgery, the rehab, how aggressive. And, you know, let's face it, you know, here at Nebraska, we have all the, you know, our trainers, doctors, you know, the rehab that these guys have, it's aggressive, and it's, they do a heck of a job. I mean, you look at a guy like Michael Rose right now and how he looks right now, and, you know, when he's walking around and you see him in there rehabbing it, you would never know he had surgery just a short time ago.
Tariq Allen hobbled off. What's his situation?
Tariq's okay. Yeah.
Well, last year, the game against Michigan State for Tommy, was that as big of a learning experience in terms of one single game to have him learn some lessons than any other he's ever played in?
I don't know. It's a question you have to ask Tommy. I mean, but I think every week, no matter whether it's good, bad, you know, I mean, you know, you learn something every week.
You guys knew Nathan Geary obviously had some ability, but what has he done so well to Flash at this point where you guys had safety?
I think he's a good football player. I think he has a good understanding. I think he's got a long way to go yet. Like anybody else, it's about doing it down in, down out, consistency, you know, learning and applying it every week.
I mean, played kind of closer to the ball last year. The play that he made the other night, I mean, he was back in coverage. He made a big jump in that area. Being back.
Well, he was a backer last year and mainly a dime, which I think has helped him at safety. I really do. I think that's helped him a lot. I think he I think Coop benefited from the same thing early on in his career. You play up there, you kind of understand how things work up front, and I think it makes you better when you go back. It gives you a whole different perspective, understanding run fits and that type of thing, and how the thing around you is happening. And I think Nate benefited from that.
Adam Taylor's still in the boot, so I'm guessing that, have you ruled him out for the year, or is there still potential he can return?
No, we're not going to have Adam return. Yeah.
Hey, Bo, kind of a question off the news of the weekend, in a way. As a head coach, how hard is it for you with everything going on during a game to keep track of maybe a guy that's wobbly out on the field, incapacitated in some fashion?
You know, that's really not my job. Our trainers and doctors do a great job of that. I mean, they're looking. Our trainers and doctors are looking at the game at a whole different perspective than I am. And usually you notice it. But I know one thing, that I can't remember a time that, I mean, a guy has been wobbly that you know, that he's out quickly. I mean, guys we have a whole team of doctors and trainers that are looking for things like that.
You know, not necessarily just a guy that's down on the field, but no, just somehow showing that he's not right.
No, like I said, you know, you see it. I mean, we've been around that a couple times, you know, and like I said, pretty quickly you tell him to get out. And really, his teammate, a lot of time they're teammates. If it's happening in the huddle and it's not easy to find, a lot of times his teammates will give people a heads up.
Do you have anybody up in the press box watching for that?
Well, we have eyes on every position. You know, there's some things you can see that are obvious. You know, I mean, if a guy's stumbling around, we're going to see it. But if a guy gets dinged a little bit, and you know, it's hard to see until you look into their eyes. But you know, it's hard. That's hard to see from the press box. But you know, like I said, every case is a little bit different. Sometimes. Some are easier to spot than others, obviously.
You guys were pretty close to blocking the punt there last Saturday.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, we should have blocked the punt. I think, you know.
Got gunshot.
I think, well, it was Marcus Newby, and he, you know, we thought we were going to come free on that, but I didn't expect it to be Marcus. But I think what we did confused him, and I think he was shocked. I think he was surprised. And now, you know, I said, I think he needs to learn from it, and we all got to learn from it, that you have to expect you're going to be the one. And I think he came so scot-free, he was like, I mean, I knew we were close. When I saw the film, I was like, oh, my goodness. I thought he could have tackled him. But, you know, it's a young guy. I mean, first time in that position, sometimes that's going to happen.
Anything else for Coach?
Thanks, guys.
That is Coach Bo Pelini's weekly press conference in Lincoln here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A lot of stuff to talk about there. Went nearly 30 minutes today. Michigan State, but not as much Michigan State talk as there was Nebraska talk. And we will break it down. We've got a couple of questions, and we'll have it all on the Doug and Daddy Show. So stay with us if you're getting ready for lunch. Don't forget, the Carney Chicken Coop is the place to be. It's the best of both worlds. A lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Carney Chicken Coop. And thanks to them, Monday doesn't have to be blue anymore. It's not for Jimmy. He's rolling around in the cage after the TCU and Tampa Bay wins. Ow! He's going to get double lunch. He might be treating everybody. You never know. Thanks to them, Monday is there for you with the Chicken Coop. They have the steak sandwich as your lunch special every Monday from 11 to 4. Put aside with it, it's only $7.49. Lunch specials are served from 11 to 4 daily. And, of course, appetizer specials, drink specials like long necks and draws for only 2 1/4 from 2 until 5:30. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football. Getting you ready for the playoffs. Carney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Listen, just wanting to lose weight for summer isn't going to get you into that killer bikini shape. You've got to make it happen. There's no better or faster way to do it than with Complete Nutrition. Don't wait another second. Get into Complete Nutrition today to get over that weight loss hump. Our consultants will help you find the perfect weight loss product to kickstart your workout and to have more energy, burn more fat, and get into perfect shape for summer without logging extra hours at the gym. Come on, summer's here. So what are you waiting for? Check out any one of the three new weight loss products available now at Complete Nutrition. They're clinically proven to shrink fat cells and help you safely lose 21 pounds and burn difficult abdominal fat 12 times faster than with just diet and exercise alone. So don't wait. Come into Complete Nutrition and get started today.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663 and in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
It's third down and 6, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. 5.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a $100 Visa gift card. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, when you call now, Prairie iNet will install your system for free. That's a $99 value, a $100 Visa gift card, and free installation just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Roll along on a Bo Pelini press conference day. Our Midtown Mart cooler question, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you Friday which 0-3 NFL team had the best chance to turn it around and make the playoffs. And Tampa comes out and wins a game over the weekend, but 50% said Jacksonville, 30 Tampa, 20 took Oakland. And Jacksonville and Oakland both now fall to 0-4. ESPNSuperstation.com. Jeff has put another communist versus American question on the website today for our Midtown Mart Cooler question. Who wins tomorrow's American League wild card game? The A's or the Royals? Leicester versus Shields. Who you got, Jimmy?
I'm taking the Royals.
A's will be favored?
No, I'll tell you what happened.
You think the A's will be favored? I haven't even
looked. I looked at it. The very first line came up at even. 110, 110.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, in Vegas, what they do is they get it right down to the dollar, and but they make it a $10 difference. Right now, you bet Kansas City, you got to bet 123 to win 100. On Oakland, you bet 100 to win 113. So the lines change.
They so the Royals are favored.
Yeah, at a minus 123, which means you got to bet minimal. 123 to win 100. Yeah, but they the line was at one time it was 105 to 105. You know, negative 105 to 105. I don't know if the people understand what we're talking about. Yeah. The real guy does, but yeah. But you know, they made the Royals a slight favorite. But you know, how do you know? You know, on Saturday night, everybody lost. You know, Detroit lost, Kansas City lost. I mean, I think Oakland maybe got beat by Texas. I mean, like everybody got beat.
Seattle stayed alive. That was the only one.
Yeah.
Well, vote now. A's Royals, ESPN, Superstation.com. I wonder what tomorrow's Midtown Mark Cooler question will be. Don't know. Troutman's Tuesday trivia tomorrow, but let's get back to our baseball selections from the beginning of the year. Then we're going to hit Bo Pelini's press conference and then wrap things up. How do we do? That's the bottom line. Let's start with Damon Day, who was in that week. He's our baseball guy. He had Boston to win the American League East. They didn't make it. Did they end up with the worst record? Pull the standings up real quick there, Jeffrey, would you? And he had Baltimore. Let's see. What's that mean? They won the division. Okay, so he had Detroit and Kansas City as the wild card. No, he didn't pick wild cards. He picked Cleveland and New York. Okay, get it right, Doug. He had Detroit, right, and then he had Oakland to win the West. They win the wild card, and he has Detroit over St. Louis. Let's see, how'd he do in the National League? He had St. Louis and the Dodgers to win their divisions. He had Washington in as a wild card, so he did okay there. Cincinnati, no. Jimmy Lang. He had... I don't know what's he got here.
I got
Jeffrey. Help me out here.
I think I had the Dodgers in Detroit in the whole ball of wax in the finals.
You had the Indians in Tampa Bay in as the wild card, or Indians and Mariners as the what does he got here? I don't know what you got here, Jeff.
Looks like he's got the Indians and the Rays in the wild card. He's got the Mariners, the Athletics, and the Tigers. Okay. So Tampa Bay would be the. Would be the East.
So he's got two of the six in the American League.
Yeah, okay. Very poor, very poor.
Boy, yeah, but how about the National League? Is that five of the six?
Yes.
You hit five of the six in the National League. You got Dodgers over Tigers. I got Detroit over Atlanta. Ouch. But I do have Detroit over Kansas City in the American League Championship. I did pick Kansas City to get in on the wild card. I picked Boston, too. Baltimore won it. Had the Angels. I was correct there. My other wild card was Baltimore, so I got one, two, three, four. Four of them right? Four out of six in the American League?
That's good.
Let's go
you
with
that. You missed Oakland and Boston.
And Baltimore. The National League, I had Atlanta in there. I had Washington in. I had St. Louis. I had the Dodgers. I picked San Diego. there you go. So if we muddled through that, my bad. I should have pre-read that, but I didn't.
Yeah, so. It's one of those things you'd...
Here's comes from the Dent Popper inbox, Jimmy. What about the block by Gregory on the Jerry interception? It was a flag on Kenny Bell, and here it wasn't. I think he's going back to that Wisconsin game, the championship game. Both sets of officials were Big Ten crews, but yet totally different outcome. That's why people get upset because of the inconsistency in officiating. Please have Jimmy elaborate on this.
Well, I think the one is what they do is they have – officials, and they what they do, and this is kind of important to understand, and a very good question, by the way. An extremely good question is something that I, as an official, I'd like to clear up, too, is they have what they call points of emphasis. And we the good officials will read the rule book and say, hey, these are the points of emphasis this year. And the one was they were trying to get that block out of there. We're going helmet to helmet. That was a point of emphasis 2 years ago when you talked about the Kenny Bell block on that. I didn't like the call because I thought the player was still involved in the play. But they felt like, hey, if Kenny Bell could block him differently than right at his helmet and his head, go down lower, you know, by you know the waist or the numbers, it would have been a lot better. But that was a point of emphasis that year. You know, so that has a lot to do with the point of emphasis. And I think sometimes in basketball, they say, hey, clean up the post play. That is a point of emphasis. The game's getting too rough. Clean that part up. So, you know, basically you get in there and, hey, if you normally call 10 fouls, maybe you're going to call 12, you know, this year, you know, in the entire game. But I think that was it. That point of interest, a lot of guys are going, being able to throw that block on those returns now and not getting flagged. But what happens is these officials, you'd make $2,600 a game to go down and do a Big Ten game. You get $2,600 a game. That's what they get paid. The referee gets paid a little bit more. He's around $2,700. All right, if you don't call that stuff, they'll come, they'll put it in your, they'll call you and say, hey, you know, Jimmy, you got to do this. You got to make this call. If you don't make this call, if you don't get better and start making that call, well, you're going to miss a game. All right. So, I mean, if you make, you work 10 games, that's $26,000. If you work 10 games a year, you make 26 grand. You don't want to lose two games because you didn't call something that they want you to call. So I think that's what that was. And that was the Miami of Florida on the roughing the passer. That was a point in Memphis this year on roughing the passer. A guy going down at the legs when he's in a vulnerable position. Thought it was a poor call, but I understand what the referee was doing. He's not going to get in trouble making a call on a point of emphasis.
Jimmy Lang and Doug Duda with you in the last minute here. The Doug and Daddy Show, things that you took out of the press conference today from Bo?
Well, the one thing I liked the best was the fact that he did make the comment about we're keeping him fresh. He feels fresh. He's running fresh. Amir, and I thought that was so important. I know that people are upset when somebody else comes into the game and fumbles, you know, or somebody else comes in the game. I thought Tommy Armstrong could have came out a little quicker, too. I just didn't want him to get hurt for that Michigan State game or take a weird... Yeah. In fact, there was one play where he did actually take a hell of a pop, excuse the language, but he took a pretty good pop, let's say that, and came up okay, and I thought, whoa, we didn't need that. I mean, you know, and... I didn't want him to get hurt on that play because you want to have your best players playing. And I know there's some people that like the quarterback from Grand Island High School. And hey, you know, fine if he's ready, but let's have them both be healthy. Yeah, you know, so that's the point. Yeah.
A couple things for me. They ran down the injury situation. Amir is fine. Josh Mitchell's fine. David Santos. Well, you know what that means. I wouldn't expect Santos to be ready to play, even if it is significant minutes on Saturday. We'll see how the week goes. That's not usually good. Usually you get it day to day. And Nebraska evidently has a lot of good players, and so does Michigan State. We always made fun of Bill Callahan. Bo says it as much as any of the coaches. It's just a standard line. A lot of questions on the offensive line there. I think one thing I'll start looking at as well is the length, how big the wide receivers are for Michigan State, especially if we do miss a couple of guys on that side of the football, and watch the matchup there and why they've been successful. And, of course, my favorite part of the day is when Matt Davison brought up how we schooled Kirk Cousins when he played here a couple of years ago, and obviously the reason for that was the early interception by Loomis Wolf, Lance Thorell, which obviously turned around the game, his only career interception. Got it. First quarter, first series, I think it was, and obviously making Lance Thorell a future Nebraska football Hall of Famer.
Well, you know, it was a great play. Was I think the final score of that game was 17-3.
24.
Was it 24-3? Yeah. We scored late again. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, boy, I'll tell you what, we hold them to three, we got a good chance to win.
Even the guys at TNL agree with you on that one. And if we're playing SMU, you hold them to, you know, hold them to three. I don't know. Folks, the gang at TNL wants you to remember that for a limited time, they're offering their Harvest Special $5 per foot discount. You can save $6,500 when you buy a quarter-mile-long TNL pivot. With decades of reliability at TNL, you can get it right now, the Harvest Special. Call your local TNL dealer. Stop by. Visit him today. I know it's harvest time. We might be getting some rain this week, so if it delays you a little bit, that'll be a good time to get ready for TNL and get ready for their $5 per foot discount. Save money, $6,500 on that quarter-mile-long TNL pivot. Go online for more information at TLIRR.com. We'll wrap it up here. I know we got another break. We'll just do that at the end of the show and get you out of here, folks, because it is lunchtime and my stomach's growling. But Monday Night Football tonight, Kansas City, New England. It's going to be a great couple days in Kansas City. It'd be awesome to be there. I know some folks that are going down for Monday Night Football tonight besides Matt Davison. They'll have fun. You can hear the game here on ESPN, 7:35, the kickoff. Charlie Weiss, out of nowhere, is out at Kansas. I'll have to admit, even though they stink, I was a little surprised they pulled the plug. I mean, you are Kansas. Remember that. You pulled the plug awfully quick, I thought.
I'll tell you what, the Minnesota Twins fired Ron Garden hire, and I'll tell you what a mistake that is. He's one of the best managers. I'll stick up for him any day of the week. We're getting to the point now where if you don't win immediately or you don't win right now, hey, what a class act he always was. He had the Twins.
He didn't have anybody.
Played with a minimum payroll.
Yeah.
A minimum payroll, and they're going to fire, the Minnesota Twins are going to fire him. Hey, I'll tell you what, that is absolutely a disgrace to Major League Baseball when that a guy like that, all the things he's done for the Minnesota Twins. Yeah, they didn't win the last couple of years. I'll tell you what, look at the Detroit Tigers pitching and their payroll and all the other teams in the American League Central. Anybody that can compete at all. What a great job by the Royals this year. Yeah. But, you know, hey, the Minnesota Twins manager was always positive and said really nice things about it. So very interesting that they would fire him.
Well, and also, of course, the no-hitter yesterday by Jordan Zimmermann for the Washington Nationals. They seem to get some of those on the last day or two of the season. Now the story out in Dominican Sioux, he's going to have to put up with this the rest of the year. People are saying he wants to play in New York because they played the Jets yesterday, and he wants out of Detroit. They're four games into the season. They're going to have to put up with that. The coaches have actually put Alabama as the number one college football team in the country. Amir Abdullah has been named the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week. Huskers got a couple of commits for 2016 football over the weekend. One of those, a four-star offensive lineman, John Reardon out of Des Moines, Iowa. The other, Brian Brokop, commits as well. We talked about UNK and Hastings College football at the top of the show. Volleyball was good. Everybody won. The Huskers swept Iowa. UNK had two wins over the weekend. Hastings College beat Dakota Wesleyan. Hastings soccer was a sweeper. UNK fell. The Storm win their opener. They have their home opener this Friday night against Sioux Falls at 7:30. The annual UNK High School Cross Country Invitational is set for today. Gets underway at the Kearney Country Club. If you enjoy the state cross country meet, this is probably better. Because not necessarily quality, because those are quality teams, but there are more teams for this UNK cross country meet. The Class A girls at one, then the Class A boys, then B, D, and C. They run every half hour. So if you get a chance, head out to the Kearney Country Club. UNK volleyball getting a commitment from Minden All-State setter Allie Rouse over the weekend. So congratulations. And the Nebraska Golf Hall of Fame has their ceremonies tonight at the Lincoln Country Club. Among those going in, Mark Kalkovecchia, the Laurel native, expected to be on hand. Mike Klein from Scott's Bluff, Bruce Gilliland of Kimball, also Beatrice's Jerry Fisher, and our own buddy Stu Pospisil of the Omaha World Herald.
Doug, congratulations on your Cowboys. They're looking good, and I'll tell you what, no one can make fun of you for a couple weeks.
Big week. The Crick played well yesterday, sacking guys. The Texans and Cowboys this week. I'm a little nervous. I'm going to have to split the 9 and the 3. Cowboy 9, Crick 3 probably, as that going on. Tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, Daryl Morris, Tony Harper will be joining us. Also want to thank Matt Davison from the Husker Sports Network. And Jimmy, I can't wait till Friday for more of your picks.
Yeah, I think I was probably lucky.
We'll see you tomorrow, Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.